Welcome to the NLP Talks podcast, bringing you inspirational stories along with a good dose of potentially life-changing NLP strategies. I'm Laura Evans, multi-award-winning NLP trainer, and I'm on a mission to help you unleash your potential in business and life. I'm so glad you're here. Pull up a chair, listen in, and let's get started on revealing more about this transformational NLP toolkit. Hey, how are you doing? I hope you are safe and well. Welcome to another episode of the NLP Talks podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I can't wait to reveal today's guest to you. I am, of course, Laura Evans, your host, and of course, the lead NLP trainer at Unleash Your Potential. Now, today, I can't wait to introduce to you Yasmin Neves. Now, Yasmin starts her story 10 years ago when she lost 10 stone. So she was a size 26 before and she lost the weight. And to many other people, she had it all. She'd lost 10 stone in weight. She had a husband that she loved, a house she loved living in, a load of disposable income. She was, you know, achieving all her milestones in her career, but she was still not happy. So many of us can relate to the story of, well, when I lose the weight, I'll be happy. Or when I lose the weight, I'm going to get all of this stuff. And she wasn't happy. She was addicted to stress. At 27 years old in 2018, she had a meeting that was going to change her life forever. She was told in a 2-minute conversation that she had an incurable disease of the brain and spinal cord. She'd been diagnosed with MS. She spent the next 2 years terrified, looking at Google, looking at all the worst case scenarios, and lived in fear, anxiety, and anger. She had a hole inside of her that she didn't know how to fill. She found an MS charity and they thankfully gave her hope. But her mindset was battered and bruised. She had depression and she says she wouldn't have sent her worst enemy to some of the darkest places that she went. She was conflicted because the old her of drive and the new her of this holistic approach that she'd learned from the MS charity Overcoming MS. But she was in conflict. And thankfully, she found NLP. She absolutely believes in the mind-body connection, the power of our thoughts and their ability to change our body. She got rid of the feeling of shame and hatred that she had towards her body. And she went through the Master Practitioner program and learned an NLP technique that I train called the Weight Change Paradigm. Now, in this episode, she's going to talk about how she now helps people through what she calls her weight change breakthrough. You see, the thing is, it's not about the weight. And if like me and like Yaz back in the day, if you think it's about the weight and after you lose the weight, you're going to be happy, I hate to tell you, but you're going to be bitterly disappointed. The weight loss industry we discuss and how it is completely commercial in most instances and all about the money. And she's going to share with you how she's been working with one of her clients who most recently lost 12 inches in 1 month. She now loves herself and it's not about the weight. This is a story of transformation where Yaz went from being 10 stone overweight to having a life-changing meeting, to finally loving herself and helping other people do the same. Get a cuppa, pull up a chair, because you're going to love listening to this story. So let's go over to Yaz as she starts to discuss what life was like for her 10 years ago.
If I rewind back maybe 10 years, I was working at a job, working my way up the corporate ladder, trying to get as much money and as much success as possible. I was, looking back now, I was actually stuck in overdrive. I was constantly on that hamster wheel of going, going, going.
Always had in HR?
Yeah, in HR. And I was kind of sold the lie that most of us are, that, you know, all these material things are going to make you happy. So once you get the house, that's it. That's going to make you happy. Once you get your dream car, once you get that promotion, once you get more money, all of these things are going to make you happy. And I just remember always having this feeling inside of me of going, okay, I've reached this next step now. I've got all these successes, but I don't quite feel content. I don't quite feel happiness. And at that point in time, I wasn't healthy at all. I was quite significantly overweight. I didn't like the scales because I was ashamed of myself. Couldn't get on the scales, couldn't look in the mirror. Absolutely hated every inch of my body. But I do know that at that point in my life, I was a size 26 because I've got the top in my wardrobe still. And life started to change once I got a dog and I started exercising. I started to do a bit more. I started to take a little bit more pride in myself. And I thought, right, this is it now. This is the next bit of my journey. I am going to get fit. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose weight. And that's going to fill that void. That's going to make me happy. This is obviously the bit that's missing in my life because I've got everything else. I've got the amazing husband. I've got the house. I've got the career. It must be my weight. So that's what I'm going to do. So over a period of time, from my biggest to my smallest, I lost, I think, about 10 stone in weight, which is obviously massive. Wow. Massive.
That is huge.
It is.
And, wow, 10 you know, stone. I don't even want to imagine what that looks like in terms of like if, do you know what I mean? You know, like when you go to the, I don't know, we've all done their weight, you know, weight loss clubs, I won't name them, but you know, they pick up the, you know, all of that and they show you. I mean, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It's a lot. And I tried all the diets in the world and none of them worked for me. It was a complete yo-yo dieter. And I realize now, looking back, it was because I hadn't sorted, you know, my mindset out. But I remember getting to probably just before my wedding, and that was when I was my smallest. I remember just getting to that point, and no one tells you about everything else in terms of when you lose weight. That's not the final answer, because suddenly I was left with, and I haven't really shared this, I was left with lots of loose skin. I was left with this mind of still being this huge person, but having a lot smaller body. And, you know, I remember I was having CBT a couple of years ago, and they one of the processes was trying to get my mind caught up with what I'd lost. And they got me to get a piece of string, and they said, right, measure out how big you think you are. Do your arms, do your waist, do your chest, and measure it all out. And then they actually measured me, and the difference between what I still thought I was and what I actually was completely different. It was probably like double in terms of the size difference. So, yeah. So anyway, I think it was 2016. So I was the fittest I've ever was. I had everything that I wanted. I had loads of disposable income. I achieved lots of milestones in terms of my career, but I was on overdrive. I was always going. I was looking for the next thing. I didn't stop. I'd get up. I'd go to the gym. I'd have no downtime.
I'm just trying to obviously keep up with the story here. So you were a size 26. You got on a mission. What's your initial mission to lose the weight for the wedding? Is that what your objective was?
No, it took years to lose the weight. It wasn't the wedding. The wedding wasn't even in mind at this point in time. It just happened. Something changed and just started happening. I just started doing it naturally. And the more I lost, the more I kind of had a bit more respect for myself. Just a little bit. It just happened.
Keep going and to keep focused on that. Yeah.
I was doing ridiculous things. So like in terms of that overdrive, I was doing like 100-mile cycles. I was running half marathons. I was doing triathlons. I was just like, I need more. I need more medals. I need more success. I need more T-shirts because that's going to make me happy.
Yeah. And in terms of your career, just keeping that up with the story. So when you say you had plenty of disposable income and things like that, I'm guessing by this point you'd also stopped in HR, or were you still in HR but that you'd also got your property business up and running by then? Like, what was going on to give you the more than enough money?
So 2016, I had a full-time job working in HR. So I had the full-time job going on. I had the HR consultancy going on as a sideline. So I do that in the evenings and weekends. We just bought our first rental property, which it was run down. It needed work. So we were doing that. And we were planning for our wedding. And our wedding was, it was completely, we did it all ourselves. We did all the food, we did all the decorations, we did all the flowers, we did all the favors. I was applying for board member positions because I was like, I want to give something back now. I'm going to do this. And I was doing all the training as well. I was trying to get into my wedding dress. So I had a lot going on. a lot going on.
A lot, yeah. Oh my goodness. So you're essentially got a full-time job, you're starting a property business, doing up properties, you're on a health and wellbeing kick for yourself. You know, you've started an HR consultancy that you're running on the weekends and in the evenings. Like, I'm just like, oh my goodness, how are you even still standing? You know, knowing as a small business owner, you know, how much work all that takes. Like seriously, how? How did that happen?
It was just that when I say overdrive, I can't quite get across. Like, I was tense. I wasn't, I was had these very shallow breaths right up here. And I was just go. And I was just stuck. I was absolutely stuck in that overdrive and that stress. And I was addicted to the stress. And at the time, I remember people saying to me, like, come on now, you need to slow down. I was like, what? No, there's only 100 miles an hour and forwards. And that's where I'm going. But
yeah,
you know, that I paid the price.
So, yeah, go on then. So you got to this point of, you know, once I've got the house, once I've got the husband, once I've got the weight loss and all that, and then I'll be happy, right? Talk about, I mean, those of you who've done NLP, talk about a massive double bind, right? I can't be happy until. And then you got all these things and then you were like, it's not made me happy.
Yeah, I still had that big, big empty hole. And then I had a big, big wake-up call. So I woke up one day and I couldn't see. I couldn't see properly. And I remember speaking to my husband and going, oh, my vision's not right. It's I can't see properly. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it, go to work. Because he was in the same pattern as me. And I was like, all right then. I think he drove me to work one day because it was that bad. So over a couple of days, my vision just slowly started to deteriorate to the point where I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. I didn't want to go to hospital because I was just like, well, there's something really logical going on. There's clearly something in my eye. I just need to wash my eyes a bit more and it'll come out. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I ended up in hospital and had lots of tests. And whilst I was in hospital, they were talking about maybe I've had a stroke. There was a cyst on my brain and they thought maybe it was that causing the vision problems. And then a doctor just happened to mention the words multiple sclerosis and said, has anyone ever mentioned this to you before? I was like, no, never heard of it. I don't even know what it is. And I was in hospital for a week and then I discharged myself because one of my best friends was getting married and I wanted to go to her wedding. So I was like, well, I've got more important things to get on with in my life. Thank you very much. This is no problem. They gave me some steroids and they said it'll come back over the next couple of weeks, division. And I was like, fine, great. As long as it comes back, I don't care. I'm going to carry on. So I went straight back on the hamster wheel, going 100 miles an hour. Had this weird thing going on my sight, but it's like, oh, it's fine. I can cope with this. Had an MRI scan whilst I was in hospital, but I didn't get the results till about 4 months later on a follow-up appointment. And I went to the appointment and didn't think anything of it. Went in, sat down, and within 2 minutes, my life changed forever. And I don't say that lightly. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. I remember sitting there and the consultant brought up my scan and he said, you've got scars on your brain and the scars are signs of inflammation, signs of damage. And it's very likely that you've got MS. And I just remember sitting there going, it's the wrong person. It's the wrong scan. I'm in the wrong place. I'm dreaming. What's going on? And my life suddenly changed. They started to talk to me about potential drugs that I needed to go on, how my life might be different going forward. That started to ask me about my family plans, but very much said, well, we can't diagnose you because MS is a really, like any neurological condition, it's really difficult to diagnose. And they said, right, go away. Here's our number. If anything happens, give us a call. This is the MS nurse. It's quite likely you're going to be in contact with her over the next couple of months. But just go and live your life normally. Go and enjoy yourself. Make the most of now. And don't think about it. But just let us know if anything else happens.
Talk about freaking you out, telling you to go and live your life for now. How old were you out of interest? How old were you out of interest at this point?
I was 27.
27. So at 27, you got told just go and live your life and let us know if anything substantial changes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I go, what sort of changes? I don't know. I don't even know what this condition is. So I started Googling it, which is possibly one of the worst things I ever did. because all of the horror stories are online. And for those people that don't know, so MS is considered an incurable disease, which means that your brain is a disease of the brain and the spinal cord. It can impact every aspect of your body. It can impact your mind. It can impact your legs. It can impact basically every bit of your body, and it just takes years, and it just slowly attacks you to the point where, you know, people quite often end up bedridden. So that's where I thought my life was going. I just assumed that was my only option, because there was no cure for it. There's no magical pill, and there was no other option. I wasn't being told about anything else. So I spent then the next 2 years living in absolute fear, because I'd read all these horror stories, and I had pictured myself being, you know, bedridden. We were in the process of buying our dream house in the country, and it's great. It's listed. And I remember we had the planning officers out, and we were even asking them about installing a lift to get me upstairs, because one day that's potentially what I'm going to need. And yeah, so I spent 2 years in fear, stress, anxiety, anger, depression, all those negative emotions. And slowly and surely, my body paid the price. So it started with the vision problems. Then I was getting numbness, and I was falling over, and I was getting clumsy. I had bladder issues. Loads. I couldn't breathe at times because I was getting, you know, tight pains on my chest. So yeah, I made myself ill, because now I know, because they said, don't think about it. And obviously our minds don't process negative words. All I did was think about it. I thought about it for every single moment, every single day. And that stress made me severely ill.
Really. What a great example of how important your language is. Yeah. As you know, and again, if someone's watching this video that's not trained in NLP, when Yaz talks about, you know, the mind goes and process negatives, what we basically mean is when she was told, don't think about it, the mind can't process the word don't. So what the consultant was actually telling Yaz unconsciously was to think about it. And, you know, the power of what we say and those words, you know, like the phrase you've just, you know, go and live your life, you know, like what? Like, yeah. So if I just, before we obviously go into the next part of your story, so just to kind of recap. So you had all the weight, you lost the weight, you thought that was going to make you happy. You thought getting the house would make you happy. You thought, you know, being in overdrive would make you happy. You then have this health, what do you describe it? Health incident, health problem, episode. Whatever you want to call it, episode. Yeah. So you have this health episode where you're then basically being told, go and live your life. But you've got an incurable disease, and in 2 minutes, your life changed forever. So you thought that losing the weight was going to make you happy. Then you get told you've got an incurable disease. I mean, like, I can't even begin to understand what that must have done for your mental health and mindset in that moment. I mean, like, you very casually there said, oh, you know, I suffered with depression and my mindset wasn't that great. But I'm guessing it was really quite significant, the issue.
It was very dark. It was, I over my lifetime, there have been periods where I suffered with depression, but the place I went to was a place that I would never wish my worst enemy to go. So when I finally, I got diagnosed 2 years later, got the diagnosis in 2018, and like I do, we just carried on with our plans. So I remember we were in the process of buying where we are now, and someone said to me, so I'm assuming you're not going to do that anymore. You're going to stay where you are. And I was like, no, this is not going to stop me. So I got diagnosed. 2 weeks later, I handed my notice in at my full-time job. We bought this place, and people that know, it's not standard. I mean, it needed a lot of work. It had no road here. It had no utilities. So we had to renovate it before we could move in. So I handed my business.
Just for everyone who listens to this podcast, because there's a lot of people going to hear this, Yaz, that don't know you. So, you know, Yaz, I've never been, right? And I'm coming because I need to come and see the ducks. But anyway, and the goats and all the other animals you've got. So Yaz lives, as she said at the very beginning, on a small holding. And that doesn't do it justice either. She is in the most beautiful part of Wales, the Brecon Beacons. If you're an international listener, go and Google the Brecon Beacons here in the UK. And she is in a Tudor farmhouse with the most beautiful lake out the front in the middle of nowhere. Like, if you go and follow Yaz on Instagram, she'll give all her details at the end, like, you'll see just how beautiful that place is. And I can imagine it was really run down when you first had it. But so when you say, oh, this place, I mean, like, to everybody else, it's your home to you, right? But to everybody else, it's like, that is living a dream. That is building a business and, a lifestyle, a sustainable lifestyle for you, but in one of the most beautiful parts of Wales. So I just wanted to say that, because a lot of our international listeners won't understand where we are. Brecon Beacons is beautiful. Sorry.
That's fine. No, you're right. And this place is something magical about this place. It's a very special place that we're at right now, and I'm so grateful for it. So I had all these changes. So job, house, change of lifestyle. People then also change. So I had some very close friends who just couldn't, no fault of their own, they just couldn't deal what I was going through, and they couldn't deal with what the potential I was going to turn into. So I lost some friends, and literally everything in my life changed. So I went into a very, very, very dark place. And yeah, I was very, very fortunate though that I had a group. My family are amazing and they're very supportive, and my husband's just incredible. And I was lucky enough to stumble across a piece of hope. And when I say a big piece of hope, it's a charity called Overcoming MS, who specialize in advocating lifestyle changes to be able to manage this condition, but not only manage it, but they're now saying reverse the condition. And it's not a very well-known charity. I found it, got the book, but I was in a dark place. I couldn't read this book. It was huge. There was too much information. So my stepmom read it for me and just said, right, you need to do this, 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 and this. And I was like, I can't. It's just too much. I just know I can't do it. So she's like, calm down. Just do the food first. Cut out the milk.
Right.
Then cut out the meat. Then start thinking about meditation. Then, so it was a slow process. It was a slow process of introducing this new lifestyle. And through it, I found the most amazing community, because that's so important, having the right support around you. So yes, I finally stumbled across this way of living and a piece of hope that, do you know what? This isn't the end of my life. This isn't going to define me. I'm not going to end up, having to install a lift in my house and being bedridden and being completely reliant on other people. I made a decision in a moment in time that I am going to live the best life possible. I'm going to be well. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be healthy, and I'm going to be happy. And I was in the car driving. This is me driving. And I remember deciding that for myself, and just get this overwhelming sense of emotion. And I was just like, I'm in control of this now. This is me. And I was pushed to that point because now I know, and again, I'm going to talk a little bit about NLP. Now I know my values in terms of health and well-being. All of my decisions make sense. So I started on the drugs, and I did them for 3 months, and they were horrendous. They made me feel really, really, really rough. And I remember one day just looking at this tablet, and I physically couldn't put it in my body. Now I know what my values are in terms of health and well-being. I know that up there, number one is natural. And the pharma drugs that we're on, they're not natural. So that makes perfect sense why I physically couldn't take it anymore. So yeah, I've lost the plot now. Where am I in my story? Where am I?
So it's fine. Let me recap. Right. So you go through all this journey. You lose the weight. It doesn't make you happy. You have this life transition. Your life changes forever. You get MS. You then start to make some life changes. And I think that's quite interesting, because obviously at that point you hadn't yet found NLP, but you knew how important it was to focus your mind on what you wanted. And I think that's really interesting because, for those of you listening to the podcast with NLP, we have lots of NLP phrases, but one of the phrases is what you focus on is what you get. And if you continue to focus on an incurable disease that's going to make you ill, that's going to mean you're going to need a lift in the house and things like that, then that's where your focus is. And guess what? That's ultimately what's going to happen. You didn't know. You did the other thing. You put your focus in that moment. You decided to put your focus on being fit, being healthy, and taking action that supported you to move in that direction. And that was a brilliant place to start, like you say, with making lifestyle changes, like your food, like your meditation and things like that. That totally, totally makes sense. So once you'd gone through all of that, what happened to your mindset? Because I'm guessing there was still a bit of a black hole. And I'm guessing that's where maybe our paths first crossed.
Yes. So I had then these two worlds colliding. So I had the old me of this overdrive, need to do everything, and then this new me of the more holistic approach of the diet, the exercise, and they were a little bit like this. So they were working, but then they weren't whole, they weren't complete, they weren't working perfectly, they weren't synchronized.
Friction and just different yeah, operating so models, I was
doing all these amazing things for myself, but I was very rigid and I was still stressed about it. And I was like, well, if I don't meditate this morning, then that means I'm gonna get myself ill. And if I don't eat perfectly, then I'm gonna do this. So I remember I had this app on my phone meditating, and if I didn't have this, you know, consecutive streak, I'd punish myself because I still had that overdrive coming into me. Then I knew about NLP, and I can't tell you how or why or when I first heard about it. It was just always on my radar. It was always something I think, one of these things I wanted to do. And it was just when I put my mind to something, I just do it. So I remember sitting on my desk working one day and something popped into my head. And I was always drilled in by a previous manager that I was a terrible communicator. And so I you must have popped up on my Facebook, and it was something about communication. I was like, oh, I'm going to book on it because that's going to help me with my communication. And that's the only reason I did it. I was like, I'm going to book NLP because I want to be better at my job. I want to be better at communicating. So I booked it. I phoned up Lynn and I was like, I want to be on it like now. I'm the most impatient person you'll ever meet. I want to be on it now. So get me on it. I remember she sent me all the pre-course study out and the videos, and I remember getting all the big manual, and I was like, oh, what's this? I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to do all this pre-work. I had suffered with dyslexia since a young age, and my mum was actually told that I'd never get any GCSEs. I did, because, wow, you know, it's me. I proved them wrong, and with the help of my mum. So when I got all this stuff, I was a little bit intimidated at first because I don't like formal learning. I really struggle with this sort of stuff. But as soon as I got into it, it's the whole way you teach it just makes sense, and it worked for me. And before I knew it, like just watching the videos and going through the manual for the couple of turns, I was like, oh, this is going in somewhere. I'm recording all this information. I've never learned like this. And that learning has never been this easy. What's going on? And I remember, I can't remember if it was a video or if it was in the manual, there was something in there about we all have access. We've all got the ability to access the blueprint for perfect health. I remember stumbling across that quite early on. I was like, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm all about. I love the mind-body connection. I was like, okay, great. And I came on your course and it was nothing. I had no idea what I was signing up for. I remember being like day three in the classroom going, what is this weird stuff? What's going on? What am I doing here? But I loved it and it made perfect sense. And it was the next bit in my journey. It was what I needed right there. And by the end of doing my practitioner course with you, my mind had changed so much in such a short period of time, like it never had with counseling, like it never had before with CBT, like it never had with, you know, just talking to people and getting support and, you know, getting the help through different charities. I had a week with you and suddenly I just allowed myself to let go of so much stuff that was no longer serving me. And I just felt relaxed. For the first time in my life, I felt relaxed. And I know a lot of people talk about timeline therapy and you know, they have that instant feeling of being lighter. I'm a bit of a reflector and it takes me a bit of time. I just remember being in my kitchen probably about a week later after having that done on me. And I just remember noticing that suddenly I didn't have this knot of anxiety in my stomach that I'd carried around for my whole life, and it was gone. And I was like, how did that go? How did that happen? And yeah, it just, so that first part of the course, it just allowed me just to let go, just to be a bit more relaxed and not be so rigid in what I'm doing. But also it started making some changes to my mind in terms of how I was going to live my life. And then obviously, I'm impatient and I loved it so much. I remember coming up to you and going, I want to do the next course now. I want to do master's because I want to find out what my values are. I want to do all of this other stuff. So I want it now. So I booked onto the next available course. I remember you saying, well, you know, you've got to do some more pre-work in between. You can't just come on these courses. You've got to do a test to get on. I was like, I don't care. Just let me do it. And then I did my master's, and that just, that set my mindset up for where I am now. And to be honest, so they say overcoming MS, it can take quite a bit of time for you to start noticing the changes. And for me, it was a good 2 years. And thinking back now, I'd made all the diet changes. I was trying to live stress-free as possible. So in the moment when I was meditating, I was feeling less stress, but then I'd come out of it and I'd kind of carry on those old patterns, the whole behaviors, those the that addiction to stress. I was doing all the good things, but it wasn't until I got this sorted that it all fell into place and I physically felt better. And
she just pointed to her head, by the way, for those of you on the podcast. Don't forget, most of them listening to this won't have seen you just point to your head. Sorry, go on.
So I think everything fell into that place at the moment. So everything fell into place. So I had all the physical changes. Healing, it takes lots of different layers. And yes, you have to do the food stuff, you have to do the physical stuff. But mindset, there's not a big enough emphasis on this and how much it can have an impact. Because yes, even though you're meditating, in the moment you feel relaxed and it can help calm you down, it can help calm your heart rate down. But if you get up from meditating and then just carry on with your life and you're carrying on having all those stressful conversations, you're carrying on saying all those really negative things to yourself, you're being really unkind to yourself, there's not much point in actually meditating because, yeah, it's good for that moment. You've got to do it consistently for it to have that change. And it wasn't until I had my breakthrough as part of the master program, that's when everything fell into place. And I felt like I was actually reversing my MS because my mindset had finally caught up to my body. Even the whole weight loss stuff came into it because I finally could look in the mirror and I was proud of myself and I genuinely loved myself. And I was like, look what you've done. And that was years after I'd lost all that weight. So I'm very thankful that I found it and it's had this impact for me. And I just wish other people and the whole medical community knew how important mindset was when it comes to your physical body. You can't have one without the other.
No, I completely, completely agree. So I just want to talk a little bit more, if you're happy to, about the mind-body connection, because it's something that you and I talk about like it's second nature, because obviously we live in this world and we know what that means. But for a lot of our listeners and our community, they won't really understand. And I want to help them understand the power of the mind over the body. And this whole mind-body connection. Because I remember when I was sat on my NLP practitioner course, and I remember my trainer saying to me, now your body and your mind are connected. And I was like, no, my mind is my mind and my body is my body. They're two completely separate things. And he recommended I go and read a book called Quantum Healing by Deepak Chopra, which if you're listening to this podcast, go and get yourself a copy of that book and have a read of it. And I read about a third of it and I closed the book and I went, okay, fine, I get it. They're connected. But it wasn't until I started to experiment on using my mind to make changes in my body that I really started to prove for myself my ability to control my body with my mind. Now, to some people listening to this, they're going to go, that sounds a bit freaky. I experimented with mine over having a cold, right? So if you're a student of mine, listen to the podcast, you'll know that, touch words. I've never ever cancelled a training course ever since I've been running this business because I manage my health, but I do it through my mind. So if I get up in the morning and I'm a bit sniffly, I don't go around going, oh, I'm feeling a bit rough, I'm coming down with a cold, because what you focus on is what you get. I sit in the car and I go over in my head, I'm fit and healthy and well. And so I've stopped myself getting ill on the odd occasion. Now, some people go, oh, is that placebo? Is it real? I don't care because I didn't get ill. I've also done the opposite where I've gone, oh my God, I feel really bad. I made myself have quite bad colds. Now, this is obviously nowhere near the level that obviously you have become an expert in this, because I really do consider you an expert in the mind-body connection because of what you've done for yourself. So now I've done a little bit of an intro. Could you kind of just add to that? And could you just help the listeners understand a little bit more about, from your perspective as an expert in this field, for you, what else is this whole mind-body connection all about?
It's absolutely huge, and you're absolutely right. The mind and the body, they are not separate. They are one. And whatever you're telling yourself and whatever you're focusing on and whatever thought goes through your head, your body is going to feel. And I've got 2 years proof of that. I've got 2 years proof of, making myself really, really significantly poorly because I spent 2 years focusing on the worst case scenario for me. And if, you know, if I would have numbness, if I start falling over, feel clumsy, I would then start focusing on that and it would make it so much worse. When, you know, people phone me now and they might just mention they've got a terrible headache or they feel run down, I'm like, no, don't focus on that. How do you want to feel instead? What's the positive? What is the positive that you want to feel instead? And people are like, oh, no, that's just wishy-washy. I'm like, no, do it. And they're like, oh, actually, no, it does make a difference. I mean, our awareness, you think about it now, you're not focusing on sitting down on the chair or having your feet on the floor. But until you bring your attention to it, you then notice, oh, hang on a minute, I can feel my feet on the floor. It's not until you bring your thought there, that energy goes there. So yeah, it's absolutely connected. And it's just a shame that it is still seen. You know, the times are changing. Like meditation is becoming more popular now. It's going into workplaces. But there is so much more to do. There's so much more that we need to focus on. But there's so many great books out there in terms of the mind-body connection. And, you know, the power of our thoughts can change our physiology. It can change our DNA. It can change the chemicals in our body. It can change so much. It can heal people. I know people that have been able to heal themselves from, you know, really, you know, cancer. I know those people with autoimmune conditions that are healing themselves and have reversed, you know, really nasty symptoms. I feel the best I've ever felt in my life. I feel whole. I feel healthy. My skin's the best it's ever been. My hair's the best it's ever been. So I'm a walking example of what the mind-body connection is. And that's all I can say, really.
Yeah, but you are, because, you know, I mean, okay, so it's a few years since, you know, your official diagnosis and what have you now, but it doesn't even bear thinking about how your life could have been at this very moment in your life had you not sorted out your mindset, had you not got your focus in the right place. And I agree with you. You know, I quite enjoy a guided meditation and things like that, but I think your point is valid in that there's no point in doing it if when you then come back out of having your 15-minute meditation, you then go back to being brutal with yourself and you know, beating yourself up and running unhelpful programs. You know, meditation for a lot of people, and I know we've got meditators that listen to this podcast, but for me, a lot of people, it's a sticking plaster. You know, I'm not being funny. Sit there for 15 minutes and totally relax. Yes, that's amazing for your body and that has health benefits, but not if you're then going to open your eyes and go, right, come on then, back on the hamster wheel, let's go. Oh my God, you're useless, you're hopeful, you're ugly, and all of those things, because you undo any good you were going to do anyway.
Exactly.
You know, which is where your whole mindset piece, you know, kind of comes into that. I just want to go back as well, again, just teasing out some of the things you said, because again, we'll casually talk about this. Now, you talked earlier about your values and how important they have been to your transformation. And you very casually talked about just now how natural is number one in the context of your health and well-being. And therefore, it would now explain why you struggled to take the pharmaceutical drugs that had been prescribed, because that went against your values. It didn't fit with that. And for people listening, so your values are what are important to you. They're therefore what you focus on. They therefore are what motivate you. And they're therefore what you spend time on. And most of us can relate to working in an organization where our values were misaligned, or in a relationship where we didn't have the same values and all of those things. But, you know, and that's frustrating and that's difficult, but that's not a patch on unaligned values and health and well-being. You know, when you're being told to put these pharmaceutical drugs in your body, and I'm not saying they don't work for everybody, like, no, I get that, but for you, it went against everything that you believed of what was important to you, and therefore you didn't want to take them. And actually, you've gone down a much more holistic, and I know you've got various therapists you work with, and you know, and they've helped you get off those drugs and all of those. And by the way, if you're listening, I'm seeing her as well, because Jasmine's like, you need to go and see this lady, she is amazing. And she is amazing, and that's a whole other podcast. Maybe we should do one on that, actually. Anyway, yeah, different podcast. But there's that values conflict that you had to deal with, and it's exhausting. It is exhausting being expected by other people to live in a way that's unaligned to your values, do things to your body in your case which are unaligned to your, like, that drains your energy, it distracts you, it frustrates you, it makes you angry. And that's not good for health and well-being. It's like the most counterintuitive thing. So I think there's that really great example of how important values are to living a healthy, fulfilled life. And then the other point I want to pick up is, you know, probably 20 minutes ago in the podcast, you were talking about pre all of this NLP, where, you know, you were on your craze of not a craze, that's not fair to say, but, you know, when you're focused on sorting out your weight issue, and you were very focused and very determined, but you were doing it because you had to, you were doing it because you wanted to do it. Perhaps not for you, but for maybe for other people and all of those things. And you were trying to motivate yourself through what we call an NLP necessity. I have to. If I don't, bad things will happen. You know, you said earlier, you know, you beat yourself up when you didn't meditate because that wasn't right. That's like how a lot of us are before NLP. And you're not unusual. I'm not unusual. I used to say, and our listeners listen to this podcast, if you do this, you're not unusual. This is what a lot of us do. But it actually damages your body to necessitate that you have to, need to, should, all of those words. And we do it because we don't know a better way to motivate ourselves. We don't know how else to do it. So we'll mentally beat ourselves up. We'll make ourselves feel guilty because we haven't done it. And so listening to you, I just wanted to kind of draw that parallel, because listening to you talk about how you used to motivate yourself through necessity, through to a misaligned set of values around your health and fitness that meant you didn't want to take the drugs you were being told to take, to then finding NLP, and now going, you looked in the mirror and I felt proud of myself. I looked in the mirror and I genuinely loved myself. I looked in the mirror and went, look how far you've come in the sense of achievement. Like, I don't think we should underestimate the power of that shift. That's massive. You know, to go on that journey, to now be able to say that you actually love yourself when a few years ago you believed the complete opposite. Like, that's huge, right? That's massive. Yeah.
It's massive. And I wouldn't feel as good as I do today without all of that, without that mindset shift. I still have those conflicts. I still question myself. I remember when I went to see my neurology team, when I just said, I can't take these tablets anymore. They said, you're making a big mistake. You're going to end up disabled. You're going to end up, you know, needing carers. You need to do this. And I was so confused, because like, they were my team. They were there to look after me, but just something inside of me wasn't right. So I'm so glad that I now believe in myself. I believe in my intuition. I believe in what I'm doing when it's right. Because if I've got that belief, that's all that matters. And I know that's all that matters. And yeah, it's just encouraging me to live my life in the way that I believe is right. And I know it's going to keep me well for, you know, the rest of my life.
It's just amazing. I don't think I've ever come across such an amazing example of how values have transformed someone's life. Like, that's just, I'm just speechless. Like, that is massive for you now to feel, like you said earlier, you feel whole now, you feel fulfilled now, you love yourself now, you've never felt better, you've never looked better. Like, and all of that because you sorted out your mindset. Like, easy. I know, but to you and I, it's easy, right? Because we live and breathe this stuff. The people listening to this podcast that are going, how did that happen? Like, what exactly do you mean has happened? I just wanted to tease it out, because I don't want people to go past this podcast episode and go, oh yeah, that was nice, that was on. I want people to understand just how significant that is. Like, you know, we talk about NLP being transformational, and I talk about doing transformational coaching. That right there that you've just discussed is transformation. That is life changing on a whole other level. Unbelievable, you know, in terms of what you've managed to do. So yeah, Yaz's mum's listening to this live, and she's just put here, you are an inspirational young woman, beautiful inside and out. You are a trailblazer. Imagine the future possibilities. I couldn't agree more. Oh, I know. But oh, that's so true. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us, because I know there's elements of that story that you haven't publicly shared previously. And I'm hugely privileged that, you know, you were able to do that for the benefit of our listeners. I want to move on and talk about what you're doing now to help other people. So I know that you've got these various different businesses. So you're still very much an HR consultant. You've still very much got a property business. And, you know, you're building up now this well-being and health business to go alongside of it. So if anybody's a client of Yaz's in HR, don't panic. She's not stopping. It's still very much there. But I'm really interested to hear about how are you using this toolkit? So you're now a master practitioner of NLP. Obviously, you and I have spent days and days and days in the training room. You've got so much knowledge now. And whilst it's amazing you've used it to help yourself, I know you're using it for others now. So like, tell us a bit more. Like, how are you using the toolkit to help other people with health and well-being?
So once I completed the course, I took a bit of time to reflect and go, right, I've got all these amazing tools now. What do I want to do with it? And it just goes to show the difference this stuff makes. So before, I would have come straight out of your course, straight out of my master's, and I would have gone, boom, 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 boom. I need to do it. But I actually paused and I took some time for myself and I reflected. And that's a very different side of me. And I allowed myself to do that, which is amazing in itself.
Yeah, amazing.
And then a couple of weeks, maybe 2 months ago, I just put a post on my personal Instagram page just saying, do you know what? I want to start helping people with their health, their fitness, specifically around weight loss. If there's anyone out there who trusts me, knows my story, wants to help me develop a program, let me know. And the response was incredible. It was overwhelming, actually. I'd kind of gone from this period of reflecting on what I'm doing to suddenly, poof, you've got all these options, all these opportunities. So the last couple of weeks, I've had the last couple of months, I've had an intense process of working with different bits and pieces, people on various different issues, but with a lot of focus on health and well-being. I've got one amazing lady, and I'm sure she won't mind me telling her story. I have plastered it over social media a little bit. So I did the what I call a weight change breakthrough with her. She had struggled.
Just before you start, just let me, because I want you to tell the story, but just for the benefit of everybody listening. So when you come do your master practitioner program with us here at Unleash Your Potential, you get exclusive access to a technique called a weight change paradigm. So this was a technique created and copyrighted by Bruce Farrow, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago now, who created this technique to help people that had long-term weight issues and challenges. And I was very lucky to be one of a very, very small number of NLP trainers that he certified to train others in his technique. So it's quite a special technique for anybody interested in helping people with weight loss and well-being. And I always say to all our students on the course, you don't have to call it weight change paradigm. You can call it whatever you like. But it is a very, very effective process at helping people with sustainable changes and improvements in health and well-being around weight loss. And obviously, Yaz, you've renamed it the Weight Change Breakthrough, which is amazing. I think that's a great title for it. But I just wanted to explain that before you went into the story, because I can't wait to hear this story, because I know you've been working with this lady and I want to hear what happens. So back to you.
So I've worked with a couple of people, but it's still very early days. But this one particular lady, she sticks on my mind. She had spent her whole, not her whole life, from probably about her 20s, she has slowly started to put on weight. She'd had her own significant health challenges. She'd been in hospital for a period of time. And she just got to that point where, well, I'm going to start another diet on Monday. Anyway, she's...
And how old is she now? Just to give a scale for how many years ago that was? Because I'm guessing she's probably not 30.
No, she's 50. She just celebrated her 50.
So 30 years ago, she started with this. Okay.
Yes. And so I talked to her about what I wanted to do. I talked to her about, you know, my story and that weight loss is just the end product. If you do all of these amazing things to your health, your mindset, you are just going to lose weight. This isn't a diet. This is a whole lifestyle change. This is a way of life. It's about finding more balance. I don't want you to restrict yourself on anything. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't eat. This is about loving yourself so much and respecting your body. You are just naturally going to make the changes. She was my biggest critic. She was like, I believe you because I know you, but what you're saying is just too good to be true. And you're telling me you're going to spend 2 days with me and you're going to change all of this. And I don't believe it. And it actually wasn't till right at the end of spending 2 days with her, she really opened up to me and told me how much she thought it wasn't going to work. And to me, I was like, that's amazing. If this can work on someone who doesn't quite believe in and isn't completely bought in, and it works fantastically, imagine what I can do with someone who's completely on board. So anyway, this woman's amazing. She came to me, and after day, so it's a 2-day process. It's only 2 days. That's all I need. And okay, they are 2 intense days, and there's lots of stuff you have to do in the lead up to it. But after day one, she just ended day one going, I can't believe how different I feel already. And the next morning, I met with her. She'd been up and out. She'd gone for a dog walk. She was like, I never do this, but something just drove me. And she started suddenly making better choices in terms of what she was eating, what she was putting into her body. And then after 2 days, she was just blown away. She was just like, I cannot believe the changes that I've had in terms of what I think about myself. I've spent my whole life putting myself down. And now suddenly she's not going to do that anymore. That's just not her, that she didn't recognize that old version of herself. Anyway, it's now been a month since I worked with her. So yeah, still early days, but I checked in with her this week and she has lost a stone in weight in a month, which I don't always like the scales because, you know, as people are getting fitter, they're building on muscle. So it's not always a true reflection. But what I do like, she has lost 12 inches on her body in a month.
Wow.
But not just that. She's kind of jumped to the end point. So, you know, we're told that when you lose weight, you're going to be happy. She's happy now. She loves herself now. And then the rest is just going to come. How amazing is that? You haven't got to wait. It's just amazing.
And that's the point. And this was always Bruce's argument when he created this technique, which is you can feel happy now. You can feel love now. You can feel fulfilled now. Don't tie how you feel to an end point, which is I won't feel it until I've lost 3 stone. I won't feel it until, in your case, I've lost 10 stone. I won't feel it, because you can feel any way you want to feel now. And when you love yourself and when you are prioritizing yourself and when you turn off this internal negative self-talk that you used to beat yourself up every day, then becoming healthy and fitter and looking after well-being just becomes second nature, you know. And that example you've got of that lady just getting up and going for a dog is not unusual with these types of processes and this type of client, because they're not doing it because they have to do it. It goes back to my point earlier. They're doing it because they want to do it, because they just want, let's go for a walk. Why would you not? Let's go and get some fresh air. Let's go and look after myself. Let's put myself first. They're not doing it because I have to do 10,000 steps a day in order to lose weight. And if I don't do 10,000 steps a day, I'm going to beat myself up because I didn't meet my target. That's the wrong way to look after yourself, as you've been discussing. Actually, this lady's doing it because she wants to do it, because it's natural for her to do it. And I think that's one of the things, you know, like the unconscious mind. Again, on the Pratt course, we talk about the fact your unconscious mind is in control of your behavior. And this is why the weight loss industry does not work. And by the way, if you listen to this podcast, they know it. They know it, because it's a really good recurring business model. It makes their money for you not to know this, right? So I'm sorry, weight loss industry, I'm about to bust the myth, right? So they know full well that what they do will not work. They know full well, because there is only so long that you can get your conscious mind, your logical thinking mind, to make yourself do something. I must go to the gym. I must go to the gym. I must go to the gym. Mustn't eat the cake. Must eat the fruit and veg. Mustn't eat the cake. But I'm like, that's how most people attempt to lose weight. And so what happens is, for a period of time, you can tell yourself what to do. And then after a while, the wheels of the wagon start to wobble a little bit, and then they start to fall off. And then you've got your Battenberg back in the shopping trolley, or you've got your chocolate, whatever. And it's, oh, but it's only one. It doesn't matter. You know, or I don't go to the gym today. It's all right. Go tomorrow. You know, and all of a sudden your behavior starts to change and you don't notice it at first. At first, you do not notice it until one day you're sat down stuffing your face with a load of cakes and whatever. And then you think, oh, well, that's it. Diet's over then. And that's when then people realize. And this is why the weight loss industry doesn't work, because then, of course, all of the branded weight loss companies that are out there go, well, that's all right, because once the person realizes they've fallen off the wagon, they'll come back and they'll pay us a membership fee again. And then for a while, their conscious mind will help them make some progress until they fall off the wagon again. And I'm on my soapbox. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I'm really sorry, but I get so passionate about this, because the weight loss industry is awful. It is awful because they play on the fact they know they're not fixing the underlying issue. Whereas with the processes that we use to help people, when you change the mindset first, then the rest follows. You know, I remember Bruce always saying when he used to train this technique, right, someone's overweight, that's due to the fact there's too many calories going in their body and they're not expending enough, right? That's quite simple. But eating is a behavior. Behavior is controlled by the unconscious mind. So therefore, unless you make changes at the unconscious level, you won't fix the problem that someone is overweight, that someone doesn't feel healthy. And if we're all really honest, and Bruce used to say this too, it's not about the weight. It's not about the weight. It's not even about the dress size for us ladies. It really isn't. It's about how we want to feel. Mm-hmm. It's about how we want to get up and dust ourselves off in the morning and look in the mirror and love ourselves and care for ourselves and feel fulfilled and feel whole. We're chasing a feeling. But most people go, yeah, but if I lose the weight, then I'm going to feel it. No, no, that's not how we do it. And, you know, and this woman that you're working with is living proof of that. I'm going to stop ranting because I'm going to fall off my chair if I'm not careful. But I get so angry about the weight loss industry because it's wrong and it's not how to best help people. You know, people want a quick fix. Of course, if you reduce your calorie intake to 800 calories a day, of course you're going to lose weight. I mean, come on. But it's not sustainable. No. It's not how to fill your body up. It's not how to put nutrition in your body. You know, like I love my curves, right? But I'm healthy. You know, I know if I do 14 days of training or 11 days of training straight, I know I've depleted my health and well-being bank. So in the week or so afterwards, I eat really high quality food, lots of vitamins, lots of vegetables, lots of high quality proteins to balance that out. Whereas other people don't understand, again, mind-body connection. You know, I'm going to stop, Jan. I'm back to you, Yaz. I just get so angry about it because it's wrong.
It is. Anyway. It makes it worse as well because you're being taught that, you know, food is bad and you should limit how much you eat in. And it's teaching you, you know, they have all these wonderful models of this perfect size and this is what you should aim for. And that's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's yeah, no, I can't get started because...
No, go on, share your view. I've had my rant.
It's just, it's all a money-making scheme. Like most things in life, it all comes down to money. And I'm very fortunate that I'm very early in my life and I've realised that money does not bring happiness. If you haven't got your health, and people say it all the time, and it's not until you have a moment in your life where potentially your health has been taken away from you, you really, truly realise what's important and money isn't it. And, you know, all the big diet brands, they're just making the problem worse. They're making us believe in this dream that just isn't reality. It just isn't reality.
No, it's really not. And, you know, I mean, don't get me started on the whole business of all these shakes that people, you know, eat. And, you know, honestly, I just, you know, it just winds me up. It winds me up. But I'm so glad you are on a mission to change that.
There's another way.
Exactly. And I just want people to know that. I want people to know that the weight loss industry is set up to make money. And actually, what do you really want? What you really want is to love yourself, to feel fulfilled, to feel amazing. And part of that then enables you to be, you know, because to me, as you started off saying at the very beginning, to me, it's not about weight loss. About being well. And it's about what being well means to each of us as individuals. And being well for me is physical and mental being well. And it's how we go about doing that. And the whole weight loss stuff is, and again, a huge example of the mind-body connection. Massive. Mm-hmm. You know, because people go, oh, well, just, you know, just like deplete the body of all its fat and all of that stuff. And that will sort me out. And it doesn't. It really doesn't. I can't wait to hear how this lady continues to improve her health and well-being. And I tell you what, we might have to get you back on the next series of the podcast to give everybody an update. So it'd be next year sometime. But yeah, it's massive. It's massive. Now, obviously, I know you've worked with a few people and I know obviously some other people are at different points in the process, but like sitting there taking someone through that process, like just give everybody a bit of a glimpse as to what it was like for you sat opposite someone like that. Helping them.
So every one of my business is all about making a difference and helping people, whether it's them finding their dream home, whether it's them, you know, getting a job within the HR, but you're never really making a massive difference. And I remember doing the first lady, someone different, and just getting to the end of the day and just her being so full of gratitude because we started with the weight loss with her, but actually there were so many other issues that we had to deal with first. And the weight loss is just going to be a byproduct of everything else. And I just remember getting to the end of the day and just seeing, I say all the time, people change in front of my eyes. And I don't say that lightly. They actually change in front of my eyes. Their eyes start glistening, their skin tone changes. They change their posture. And it just feels amazing. It just feels like I'm finally doing some good in the world. I'm actually making a difference. And I absolutely love it. It just fills me with purpose. It just helps this whole feeling of being content. I kind of know what I'm here for now. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I love it. I want to help everyone.
So what are the plans? Obviously, I know you're going to keep doing your HR stuff and you're going to keep doing your property stuff and things like that. But with this particular part of your business around health and well-being, like, do you have plans for the future? Like, what is your thinking?
Good question. I've been very lucky with all my businesses. They've all grown very organically. And I've been very lucky. Opportunities just come my way. It's the same with the coaching now. Opportunities are coming my way and I'm just saying yes and I'm taking them. So I'm very much just going to see where life takes me, see what happens. Obviously, I'm very fortunate that I live in such a special place. So whether I do something here in terms of retreats, whether I do something somewhere else, I honestly, the answer is I don't know. I'm just enjoying the journey and that's what it's all about. Just see where it takes me.
I can't wait. I honestly cannot wait to see what's going to happen for you, but also for all of these people that you are going to help. I just think, what a little bubble of positivity in this big, bad world, as it sometimes feels, you know, as you say, making a difference and things like that. There's two things I'm going to suggest our listeners do. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're interested in starting to understand a little bit more about your own weight loss challenge, there are two tasks that we set for people that come to us for this kind of weight change breakthrough. And I think there's no problem with me sharing them with you. And I think it would be quite interesting. So what I'd suggest you do is get a piece of paper and a pen and draw two axes on it. So your vertical axis is your weight and your horizontal axis of your graph is your age. And get yourself a pen or pencil and just very roughly plot your age against your weight. So when, at what age did you have your big peaks? When did you lose a bit? When did you get a peak? When did you lose? Just very easily do that. Then look along the bottom line of the axis of your graph and where your weight ballooned, work out what age were you and ask yourself the question, what was going on in my life at that time? And I bet you there was what we call in NLP a significant emotional event. So mine was to do with a very messy breakup with my parents when I was quite small. My mum has been very ill since I was young. Then there was another peak when my first serious boyfriend cheated on me and I found out on New Year's Eve one night that had happened. And actually, it wasn't until I did the weight versus age diagram that I actually realized that my weight issue was to do with mindset and emotions and significant emotional events. I think that's an interesting exercise for listeners to do. The other thing that I would suggest you also do if you want to start to make some progress in this area is start to keep a diary of what you're eating. Now, I am not a nutritionist. I'm not qualified to give you advice about what you eat, but I don't need to, because here's what I think you should do. Get a piece of paper, and for 2 weeks, a week, if you can't do two, do a week. But if you can do two, it's better. And I want you to write down every single thing you eat for 2 weeks. Everything you eat for 2 weeks. One, it's very good to get you more consciously aware of what you're putting in your mouth. But secondly, the most important thing is, I want, before you put it in your mouth, I want you to give yourself a score. On a scale of 0, where 0 is I feel rubbish and 10 is I feel absolutely amazing, give yourself a score before you eat it and write that on the sheet as well. And you'll find there's patterns. In NLP, we talk all about behavioral patterns and the fact that with NLP, we're looking to help people change the patterns, break the patterns and put new patterns in. But I bet you, if you did that as just for a week or two, you'd see, oh, look, it's every evening I give myself a 2 out of 10. And oh, look, I hit the wine. Or, oh, look, I hit the chocolate, because you're using food to help you deal with the emotions that you're going through. Further proving the point Yaz and I have been making today, which is it's not about the weight. Anyway, there's two little exercises for you guys to have and go and do. And I think it will further improve your knowledge around this area. Yes, I could sit here all day and talk to you. I love you. You know that. I think you're amazing. And, you know, it's a huge privilege for me to do these podcast episodes, as I've said many times on this show before, because I don't get to hear the backstory. Because NLP is content free, in order to help you, I don't need to know your story. And actually, it's lovely to be able to sit here and actually hear it and go, oh, wow. Oh, okay. And it makes sense and all of those things. And to see where you are now, now and the life you're living and just how much you love your life. And I just love it. You know, I remember you when you came in on your practitioner course, and Yaz is one of our coaching assistants for someone, you know, anybody that's listening to the podcast. She comes back in and helps the next groups going through. And to just see you walk in on those mornings when you come in to help and to know how far you've come, I'm just so proud of you. And I know everybody else is that knows you, and I hope you know it too.
I do now. I didn't before.
Absolutely. Now, Yaz, there's going to be people that have kind of listened to this podcast who want a bit more of you. So they want to learn more from you. They maybe want to reach out to you. Maybe they've got questions, or maybe they're interested in talking to you about the Weight Change Breakthrough that you run. What is the best way for listeners to get hold of you if they'd like to get hold of you?
Probably social media. So on my list of things is to build a website, but it'll come in time. So yeah, Instagram at The Real Yasmin Neves, I think. It's not good. I'm sure you'll put it on your show notes or on Facebook. You can just find me, just reach out. Yeah, it's really easy. Just send me a message.
So you're on LinkedIn, you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram. Obviously, depending on when people listen to this, you might have not been on them if it's a couple of years' time. But at the time of recording, you're on quite a lot of social media platforms, aren't you? What we'll also do, folks, if you go over to the nlptalks.com website, if you go over to nlptalks.com, firstly, you'll find all the episodes that I've ever recorded, but you'll also find a page for Yaz's podcast episode, and all her contact details will be on there as well. So there are various ways that you can get hold of her as we do that. So Yaz, as you know, because I know you're an avid listener of the podcast, you know I finish up with the quick fire question round. So you're not going to escape. She's screwing up her face for those of you listening. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you could give your 18-year-old self a piece of advice, what would you tell yourself?
I probably wouldn't waste my breath because she wouldn't have listened. I'd probably keep it simple and just say, hold on tight. It's going to be one hell of a ride, but it'll be okay.
I love it. I love it. I love it. If you could give our listeners today one pearl of your wisdom from your experience and your life today, like what would be your pearl of wisdom, a saying or just a little nugget?
Invest in your mind. Invest. We're all very good at knowing we have to do the physical stuff. We have to do the food stuff, but probably your mind is the most important thing. If your mind is sorted, the rest will just follow. So make time to invest in your mental health, make time to meditate, make time to just be aware of your thoughts. And I promise you the rest will just fall into place because the mind and the body are one. They are not two separate things. They are connected.
I love it. Amazing. If you could use one word to describe your Unleash Your Potential experience with us doing the courses, what would that word be?
Enlightening. You just get to learn so much about people. You get to learn so much about yourself, and it changes your perception on life. And who doesn't want that? It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I really appreciate you giving us your time and being so open to share your journey. I know there is a huge amount of love for you in our community. I love you. I think you're an amazing woman. I cannot wait to continue to cheer you along from the sidelines. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. No, I loved it.
Thank you also to our amazing listeners who tune in to the various episodes that we do. If you're interested in finding out more about our NLP courses that we offer and some of the things Yaz has been talking about today, then go on over to our NLP website called unleashyourpotential.org.uk, and you'll find all the details of all the courses that we've been talking about over there. Of course, we also have another website, the nlptalks.com website, and that's where you'll find the back catalogue of all of our episodes. So go in there, fill your boots. You'll see we've covered so many topics now, and they are all available. And what I'll also do is, I know a lot of people that listen to our podcast are very interested in NLP. What I'll also do is I'll drop in the description of the show a link for you to go and access our free PDF guide on how to select the best NLP course for you. because I want to make sure that you get the right answers to the right questions so you can pick the best training provider for you. This is a slightly longer episode, but I know that you're all going to have loved it. The feedback coming in on the live stream right now is amazing. What a beautiful, inspiring story, an hour of complete positivity. Thank you. I couldn't agree more. So Yaz, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners that have tuned in, and we'll catch you very soon on the next NLP Talks podcast.